Savior Jesus Christ. Today's sermon is based on the gospel text, Jesus' words to his disciples. Please reconsider these verses. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. And then later on, whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And finally, whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. In today's gospel, Jesus talks about peace, saying, I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. Not peace, but a sword. In peacetime, you do not need a weapon. The prophet Isaiah famously speaks of a time to come when nations will beat their swords into plowshares. They won't need them anymore. Weapons are, of course, unnecessary in the kingdom of God because he reigns, he governs, he executes perfect justice and righteousness. Yet Jesus is the Messiah who says, I have not come to bring peace, but a weapon of conflict. What does this mean? Jesus did not come to bring a physical sword in order to take over this world by force. Force is, of course, the way of the world, of the devil and of his brood. Jesus says elsewhere, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. He said this to show how the prophets of God have always been received by the world. They speak for God, and when they do it, they are persecuted, attacked, even killed. They speak for God, and their speaking causes conflict and division. They're speaking God's word. Is a sword. Now Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, he came to bring a physical sword. The Quran, the holy book of Islam, says to the believers who read it, and I quote, kill unbelievers wherever you find them, and fight them until there is no more unbelief and worship is for Allah alone. Straight from their book. Any Muslim who does not believe it is not a good Muslim. But the sword Jesus brings is not a physical sword of violence. When he was secretly arrested to be led away to an unjust trial, Jesus' own disciples wanted to fight for him. Peter took out a sword and cut off a soldier's ear. But Jesus mended that ear and said to Peter, put your sword back in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled, that it must be so? The scriptures must be fulfilled, and Jesus' disciples and his church on earth must be persecuted for the scriptures to be fulfilled, until he comes again in glory. But the sword Jesus is speaking of is his word. His word. The epistle to the Ephesians says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Hebrews says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. The word of God is a spiritual sword, and Jesus tells his disciples to use it. And they are to use it. Not like some clumsy butcher, but with precision and with grace. As St. Paul says to Timothy, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Rightly dividing the word of truth. You see, the word of God is a sword because it divides truth from lies, honesty from hypocrisy, sheep from goats, and so too, the unfortunate result is, it will divide families. Jesus says, "I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household." Now, Jesus didn't come to make you fight with your family as if he likes conflict or quarreling. That is not his purpose. He is rightly called the Prince of Peace. It is rather the devil who sows seeds of dissension, of envy, and of division. It is the world and its prince, the devil, whose modus operandi is extortion in the extreme, the use of violence and intimidation, threats and leverage to get its own way. And really, truly, apart from Christ, that's all anyone can know. Power. Who has it, how to get it, and how to keep it once you got it. But Jesus did not come because he wants you to be in conflict with your family. But if you have a father or son who doesn't believe in him, a mother or a daughter who refuses to hear his word, though you must speak it, division and violence on their part will inevitably result. Jesus tells us this ahead of time so that we can be prepared. Because you will be tempted to think, surely God wouldn't want me to say anything that would cause conflict within the family. Yes, he would. And in fact, he insists upon it. Right here. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, this gives great insight into our own situation. Despite, however, our synod and our district would like us to spin it, Resurrection Lutheran Church is not a church plant, as if we 20 or so people decided in a vacuum that God wanted us to start a church in downtown Lethbridge. We started our church because we were sent away from ours. I preached the Word of God at Emmanuel Lutheran Church. They removed me from their church family. You saw that it was wrong and learned that certain doctrines they were holding to were not in harmony with the words of Christ. So you called them to repentance. Until now, a year and a half later, without reaching out to you or even attempting to talk to you about the doctrine of Christ that you brought to them, you have been removed from their church family. There are many who know what Emmanuel Lutheran Church did to you and to me was wrong, but remain there to this day, afraid to speak out like you have, because despite what they teach or do there, it is their church family, the church they were born in, baptized in, the church that the synodical leaders encourage them to hold their nose and stay put while they work their unbiblical interim ministry magic. Truly, truly, Jesus says to you, even today, beware of anyone who would appeal to your sense of family while ignoring your appeals to hear his word and do it. It was Jesus himself who knew the real meaning of family. When he was teaching his word to the crowds, his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because he was surrounded by the crowds. And so he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." A couple of weeks ago at the dinner table, one of my children said he doesn't like to eat meat. I turned to my wife and said, "I want a paternity test." Any son of mine would certainly eat meat. So too, Jesus' word and teaching is a sort of a paternity test. You are a disciple of Jesus Christ, not because you were born and baptized into a Lutheran church. It is because you hear the word of God and do it. That is what shows that your true Father is the Heavenly Father. That and that alone. Because of faith in the word of God, you are brothers and sisters of Christ and of one another. And that is the reason I preach to you regularly these words, so that when you hear them and you believe them, you get the test results back that you are children of the Heavenly Father. If anyone refuses to believe any of Jesus' words, the test results are unfortunately inconclusive, which is why I could not be the pastor of anyone who holds to a different confession of faith. This is why you cannot come to the altar and commune with someone who doesn't believe everything Christ has commanded. It's just false. Maybe in a person's heart they really do believe in Christ and in his word, but are confused by lies told them by false shepherds. Though they remain your brother or sister in heaven, on earth, you know your true brothers and sisters only in those who hear the word of God and do it. And those who hear the word of God and do it are like a sword, a violent offense and a scandal to those who do not. And they will be persecuted by the world. That is a promise from Jesus. But Jesus also promises this, that his brothers and sisters, his disciples, will recognize one another and will support and take care of one another until he comes again to put to rights all things. Jesus says, "Whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." Now, Jesus isn't talking about mere philanthropy here, the brotherhood of all mankind. Not it at all. He's talking about brothers in the faith, disciples, helping one another because he is a disciple. James writes, "If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." And John in his first epistle writes, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." Now, we are saved not by our works, but by the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for the remission of our sins. This is the gospel, and it is ours freely to believe. And this is a gift. And you and I are no more deserving of it than someone who rejects it. And that faith also sees Jesus himself in each and every one of his disciples. If someone does not have Christ, we need to preach his word, and that will either save them or alienate them. The word is a sword, and what it does is between the hearer and the Holy Spirit. But if they have Christ, but lack what the world has, even a cup of cold water to help a brother because he is a brother, is proof of that person's treasure in heaven, of his faith. The world will not give them water because the world hates Christ. So disciples share unrighteous mammon with each other, other disciples in need, because of the faith they have in Christ. And so Jesus' words today began with his promise not to bring peace, but a sword. That sword is his word, which will inevitably be met with hostility and rage by the world, even within our own families. Yet he does give us peace, peace which the world cannot give, the knowledge that our treasure is in heaven, secure, and that nothing can separate us from his love, from our love of our true brothers and sisters, even in this world. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please rise. And now the peace of God, which passes our human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.